I'm going to give you a little background here that I won't mention this in Tacoma because someone in Tacoma asked me a question and I don't want to embarrass them, but I want to share it with you because it was almost like the catalyst for this message. Someone asked me sincerely, said, I'm going to ask it the same way this person did. When are you going to yell at us? And I looked, I go, what do you mean, yell at you? And then the person said, well, sometimes we need to be yelled at. And I go, well, when there are occasions, I like to do that privately and not yelling. And I like to just do things more discreetly. So I'm not one who stands at the lectern and yells and pounds and, you know, because it wakes up the babies and then the mothers get mad and then the dads are upset and so I don't do a lot of yelling at church. So that's not my style. But the question was really good because there are times when we all need correction and we need the encouragement of how to make progress in our life. And that's what it's really about, is how do we overcome whatever it is that is needing to be overcome. And so rather than yelling, I decided to approach it from this point of view, which I think will be more productive, and that is to give us some concept of what it is we are to overcome and how we can do that. And that's so much more effective than yelling and pounding on the podium, I think, and I hope. But here's this verse in Revelation 21 and verse 7, and it says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And of course, this is in reference to all of us, not just the men, but the ladies as well, to be the children of God. But notice what it says there. He who overcomes will have those blessings and that promise. And so this is a rather interesting verse to think about. And I'd like us to give some thought to that today. What is it that we are to overcome? And how can we do that? Now, I don't want to get into all the millions of different things that each of us might encounter and need to overcome in all the small detail of life. But when I'm reading the scriptures, I find three really big categories of things that we must overcome if we are to be in the kingdom and to inherit all things and become the children of God. So I'd like your help as we start and be able to put on the board what we think are those three big categories of overcoming. And so this is the title, is Overcoming. Okay, we all need to do that. We just read the verse that if we overcome, the ones who do will inherit all things and be the children of God. Now, what are some of the three big things that we should overcome? Any concept, any ideas? Archie. Okay, I'm going to thank you for that, because one thing when a teacher is teaching, you want to find out where the students are and take each of us further. And I want us all as students, as disciples of Christ, to see that we already know a lot, but what I'm hoping to do today is put it in a context where we can use what we know to grow and to make advances. And so I'm going to start by dividing this into three, and you'll see. So Archie said we have to overcome ourselves. And that's part of this third category. What is it about ourselves we have to overcome? Yes. Our nature. Yeah, I like that answer. Our nature. And what is it about our nature that God doesn't like that we should overcome? Della.
Attitude.
Let's go bigger. Yes. Okay. How about thou shalt? What if we break one of those big laws? What are we doing? Sinning. We have to overcome sin. And our nature that causes us to be sin, our sinful nature. So we're putting all this together. So there we are. We have to overcome sin and our nature that causes us to sin. What about a couple other big categories of things that we need to overcome? When Christ said, I have overcome the world. Good. The world. We have to overcome the world. Now, see how this topic is now becoming something kind of large scale? What about what causes all the problems in the world, Mr. Johnson?
Satan.
Satan. Okay. Okay. So we have three enormous categories of things that we need to overcome. And sometimes it can be overwhelming and kind of daunting if we look at this on a grand scale and we say, well, how can we do that? And so I wanted to take us through that today. And I've got most of my notes on one page. And so I want to start here, and I'll leave this up until it gets too crowded, and we'll see if we can scale this down to this size a little bit. I'd like us to consider, first of all, the cause of everything that needs to be overcome, the cause of all evil, the cause of all sin, the cause of the destructiveness of everything in this world. It all goes back to Satan. And yes, we must overcome the evil one. And we begin there because what happens with the things in the world flow from the influence of Satan, and what happens to us flows from the influence of Satan and the world into our lives, and we become sinners who need to overcome our own nature as well. And so let's start with some of the verses that speak of things that about Satan. I was talking recently to someone, and there was a wonderment about whether there really is an evil realm of angels and whether there really is something that needs to be withstood and eventually overcome. I'd just like to read some verses about this. And a lot of what is on my chart is verses of Scripture, because that's where we're going to learn, and that's where we'll be able to have the understanding of how to overcome these three big things in our life. So in 1 Peter 5, and verse 8, I'm just going to turn to these verses and read them. We may not read all of them because on this chart there are more than we actually need to cover today in a short message, but let's look at this one. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And yes, there really is an adversary, and he is like a predator who preys on the world, but preys especially on us, on the people of God, and attacks us, just as he attacked Jesus Christ himself and tried in numerous ways to do that. So we see here that there really is an adversary. He's considered, you could drop this one down, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He is called there the God of this world. The God, the one that is worshipped, whether knowingly or unknowingly, the one who in many ways controls the different things in this world. He is the God of this world, and it says there that he blinds the minds of people. So we begin to pick up in some of these verses how he works and operates. He blinds the mind so that people cannot understand or see what is right and true. In John 8, Christ spoke of him. We're going to turn to this one, John 8 and verse 44, and notice this. And you see some of the ways that Christ was describing him, but also in the process showing us some of the keys of overcoming. In John 8:44, it says, "You are of your father the devil." This is quite a statement. There was controversy about things that Jesus Christ was doing, speaking to them about Abraham's seed and their own lineage and his. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." Someone mentioned the human desires. Well, those are picked up from this source. Satan was the one who tempted Eve and caused great havoc to the human race. He injects wrong desires in people's lives. "The desires of your father you want to do." He was a murderer from the beginning. You see, Christ is so specific here about the tactics of this adversary. What he does brings death, and it is laid right at his feet as he is the one who is a murderer. And he does not stand in the truth, so he's a liar, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see how Christ is telling us a lot of things about this adversary. And so we have to be aware that there's a pretty strong force out there against us. And as was mentioned in the sermonette, he's an accuser of the brethren. He's targeting you and me in many cases. But while we're here in John 8, let's just look at a key verse in verse 47. And I'm going to jump down a little further in this column, because what I'm doing on the first part is showing what we must overcome. And then I want to have an area on the bottom, and I'm just going to draw a line all the way across here, because this will be what we overcome, and this is how we overcome. And so we want to see the practical elements here as well, how we can overcome. And it's necessary that we look at several verses and put them all together and diligently grow in this area of overcoming. Jot down John 8, verse 47. And this is one of our keys to overcoming. It says here, "He who is of God hears God's words. And therefore he's speaking to those Pharisees, you do not hear because you are not of God." So for you and me, and this is going to build, we hear God's words. God's words. And you're going to notice this builds through these different ways we see this. We hear God's words. And that's more than just the hearing, but it's also the doing of those things that we hear in the Word of God. We can overcome. We are to resist him. I'm going to turn back to 1 Peter, where we started this one, 1 Peter 5. Let's look again there and read just a little bit further. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant." And so these are parts of the things that we should be doing to overcome. So let's put this here. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. This is how we overcome. It gives us a clear instruction in the scripture. Be sober. You know, be careful with what we allow in our lives, in our minds, in every way. Be vigilant. And the reason is because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we resist him. You know, that's such an important element. And so one of the ways we resist Satan and the evil that he causes and propagates in the world is we stay away from those things that gradually pull people into the ways and thinking of Satan. And that includes, in a very strong way, I would say this, some of the entertainment that is so prevalent in the world today. It's amazing, even the Disney movies and the games children play. And so many things are designed to introduce and get people accustomed to demonic forces and powers and ways and thoughts. And we have to guard our minds against these. This is a big topic I'm touching, but I just want to show that there is something that we need to do, and is resist, not to see how closely we can get to the cliff before we fall off, but to resist and see how closely we can follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. It's a very important point. If we're going to be overcomers, we have to resist the things of our enemy. This is repeated in James 4. You can see this in James 4, verse 7 and 8. James 4, I'll be there soon. It says, therefore submit to God. I'm going to put that one down. James 4. Submit to God. That's so important. That's more important even than resisting the devil. Submitting to God in our lives. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And what a blessing that is, that we can have that promise that God will help us. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so some of this is on us to do things, to know in God's word, to hear God's word. That means reading, understanding, trying to dig deep into it, resisting, submitting. These are verbs. These are action words that God expects us to do if we are to be overcoming. I'd like to encourage us by looking at 1 John 4. Sometimes when we face a great enemy, it can be almost overwhelming or daunting, and we wonder, can we in fact overcome such a great thing? In 1 John 4, in verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So that's a really encouraging verse. You might just jot that down and remember that. 1 John 4:4. So I'm going to put it at the top up here as encouragement. 1 John 4:4. Christ is greater than he who is in the world. And I find that very, very encouraging. Then there's one more key verse in this section. In Revelation 12, verse 11, you'll see what I'm doing is just giving you an introduction to these areas, and I hope that you can find a further time and desire to look more deeply into these things too. In Revelation 12, in verse 11, it says this, "And they overcame him." That's past tense. God looks at things sometimes as though they've already happened, and he knows that with his help, with the help of Christ, that we will be able to overcome. And look what it says. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How are we to overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb. This is speaking of Satan, like you see in verse 9 directly. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. And it's speaking of God's people who are in an adversarial position to Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's one reason, brethren, when we get into the spring of the year and we spend so much time talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Passover, and I spend weeks beforehand preaching about those things, about the blood of the Lamb and all that is there. These are incredibly important areas in our Christian life of overcoming. And you and I can and will, with God's help, overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the word. We begin putting in these words of God that we hear. I'm going to put this down for the Revelation 12:11. And this is a key verse. So that one, if you want to mark it, how do we overcome Satan? You go to this verse and look and say, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. The more we understand about that and believe and live by those things, we will be able to overcome our enemy. And by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. We're willing to die for what's right and true rather than give up and take something less that Satan might offer. You know, he offered that to Christ. He said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you rulership over the nations of the world. And Christ knew he couldn't offer a permanent thing. He was offering him something that was so much less than what God was promising even to Jesus Christ, the kingdom and eternal life and all of those things. So we don't love our physical lives to the death. We look to the kingdom to come and the good things, and to Christ and all of those things. And we look at God's words. So we can overcome Satan. We do it by the blood of the Lamb, only through Jesus Christ, by the words of God. And you'll see these things build into this next session. So let's look at the world then. And we find that the world is under the sway of Satan the devil. You could read the many verses about this, and it speaks of him as he's a deceiver. He deceives the whole world. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He's a liar and the father of it, as we read in John 8. He counterfeits religion. He counterfeits things about God and about the future of mankind. On a different area of attack and different plans. He tempts people. He injects his desires. He causes people to lust. These are things that we must overcome in the world, and it all goes back to what Satan is injecting into this world. You know, when God created and put mankind here, He saw everything that he had done and everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And then Satan came and tempted Eve and brought all of this bad stuff into the world. He holds the world captive. He oppresses. He puts people in bondage. And it says he now works in the sons of disobedience. And so the world is under the influence of the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And so we have to overcome the world. Let's look and see how we can do it. I've summarized a lot of this section so that we can cover more in full how we overcome the world. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 20, we read this. That's the wrong verse. Maybe it's 2 Peter. Let me see. Yes, that's 2 Peter 2, and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So we can escape the pollutions of the world. And how do we do that? Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is a big, big point already. In 2 Peter 2, we can escape. And how? I want to read it again. They escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see how it always comes back to this. Because we can't overcome these kind of things on our own. We need his help. And so we have that help through the Word of God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Familiar verse, but let's put it in this context. Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So Romans 2 is one of our keys. Romans 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so this is a very good thing to do, to resist not only Satan, but resist being conformed to the world. There's so many pressures around us. And I think the young people today face things that are far more serious than I faced when I was their age, or knew. The morality of this world is declining so rapidly that I don't know if our young people can even have a context for how different it is and how dangerous it is. But we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed. And in this transformation, we become overcomers. Also then in John 16 and verse 33, remember that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind with the knowledge of Christ. Look what it says in John 16 and verse 33. Christ is talking to his disciples here, and he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so I'm going to put this as our encouraging verse up here. John 16, 33. Christ has overcome the world, and through him we can. And through him we can understand how to be transformed. And he tells us this in 1 John 2, in verse 15. 1 John 2, beginning in verse 15, do not love the world, You write this one down. 1 John 2:15-17. Very practical elements given to us here of how to. I always like the how to parts, because sometimes you wonder, you know, how do we do this? Well, the scriptures show us. And verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. You know, this was one of Peter's problems, and Christ three times had to show him that he was thinking more of the things of man than the things of God. He needed to understand and to grow in this area, just as all of us do. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and here this begins to show us what's going to be on this side of the thing too, the things that we become involved in, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We have to do the will of God. I'm going to just put God's will. We learn God's will through the study of his word. We follow the things that we're learning and know that they are helpful to us. It is through his will that we abide forever. We can be overcomers. So we get back to that verse that we started with. The ones who overcome will inherit all things and be the children of God. There's a key verse in 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 4 and 5. Key verse. First John 4, 4 to 5. Let's see what it says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We already read this one back here, but now we see it. He's greater than he who is in the world. Do you see how these things begin to tie together? He who is in the world, we were overcoming Satan in this one, but now in the world, we're here, and you see how the influence just flows from one to the other. But it says in verse 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So we are not of the world, and I'm going to skip this. I was writing my notes last night, and I put the same verse down. But let's go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. This is what I wanted at this point. And verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's a big topic for us to study then, isn't it? To be born of God. If we want to overcome the world, then we need to understand what it means to be born of God. How does that happen in our life? John 3 begins to talk of that when Christ was talking to Nicodemus about being born again and how we are to be born as the sons and daughters of God. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Do you want to overcome the world? What does it take to do that? Faith. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, in God our Father, in the words of God. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We start with the most basic things. Jesus is the Son of God. And that becomes an element of faith that no one can take from us. And because we believe that he is the Son of God, then we change our life so that we can be like he wants us to be, to follow in his footsteps. to obey Him, to yield our lives to Him. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Just a little side point. How does faith come? I want to tie some of these things together in these elements, but look in Romans chapter 10. How is it that you and I gain faith? We want to overcome the world. We need faith. Where does our faith come from? In Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. And look how this ties back. He who hears God's word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it ties us all the way back, always going to God's word, hearing it, believing it. And so we have this kind of faith. And when we do, brethren, we can and we will overcome the world. God calls us out of that world, out of the darkness of that world, and into the light of the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ. And now we have this other, third big element to overcome, sin. And we know so much about this already because we're pretty experienced in this area. I know I am. I'm really grateful that Jesus Christ has shown me that there is a way to overcome my own sin and my sinful nature. You might jot down just in what it is we are to overcome, because these are so important. In Romans chapter 3 and 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all need to overcome sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death." Remember the promise we read in Revelation 21, verse 7, it said that those who overcome would inherit all things and be children of God. Well, when we overcome sin, we're overcoming, with His help, death. We're overcoming where sin leads in the human nature. We all walked in that way. And look in 1 Peter 4 in verse 3. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 3 it says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in licentiousness and lusts and drunkenness." And I think all of us could pick from this list and others like it in the scriptures and say, yeah, I remember when I was walking that way. Revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, and things like that. We all did. The scriptures are so very clear on that. So I think it's evident that we need to overcome. How do we overcome? We'll spend, of course, many more things in overcoming, and there's in the time that God gives us together, because we're all working on growing out of this way and into the nature of Christ. But let's look at how we overcome. In 1 John 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1 and verse 8. I always like to have, if you will, a step-by-step way of accomplishing good things and big things. And God gives us that in this section of our life as well. 1 John 1, verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So this is one of the things that we can do to overcome. Confess our sins to God. You might remember that example where Christ gave of the publican and the sinner who went in to pray, and the sinner said, "Father, forgive me, a sinner. Father, be merciful to me, a sinner." He said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." He was, in that case, somebody. When we started, we're talking about the self and the nature, and how directly you got right to the point. Because sometimes we have to ask for forgiveness and mercy for being a person who has that kind of nature. Forgive me, a sinner, or be merciful to me, a sinner. It was interesting that sinner didn't list a particular sin that he was asking forgiveness for, but for his way of being. And we can do that too, confess that we are sinners. The Apostle Paul spoke of that in many different ways, that he was the chief among sinners in his life, as he described it. So this is one of the things we can do, confess our sins. And it says, "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that's like the first big step in overcoming sin. Confess to him and he will help in those ways. We can repent and be converted. It says, turn to Acts chapter 3. This was as the church was beginning to form right after Christ's ascension to heaven, and the day of Pentecost had come, and then this was shortly after that. In Acts 3 and verse 19, it says, "Repent therefore and be converted." Sometimes we look at repentance as something that's we have to come in shame and we might not want to do that because it makes us feel bad. But you know, brethren, the blessing of repentance is something that we should all appreciate, that we have a God who says, "Yes, come before me and I will hear your prayer and forgive." What a blessing it is. And what verse am I in? I'm in Acts 3:19. "Repent therefore and be converted." There's a process that goes on in our life. It doesn't happen the first instant we respond, but it's a process of conversion and growing. "That your sins may be blotted out." That's the overcoming of sins. So, Acts 3:19. If we do this, if we repent and become converted, then our sins will be blotted out so that we will be an overcomer. And we will be able to be strengthened to resist those things again, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And what a blessing it is even in our lives today to look for those times of refreshing, to have overcome a big problem and now be able to live a life that is more godly and wholesome and rewarding, and not be the same kind of sinner that we were before. I like the way it also says in Acts 2, verse 38, you know this one even better, I think. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." So our sins are completely wiped clean, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when we start talking about ways to overcome sin, we've got to include these verses about repentance and baptism. Because ultimately, it's got to occur. We've got to be able to have the Holy Spirit given to us through baptism and the laying on of hands for us to be able to overcome sin and one day to be in the kingdom. There's a key passage, and it's a long one, but it's very practical. And I want to read this whole thing. And it's just one of several examples. And so let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And we're going to begin in verse 17 to 32. Now, this is just absolute practical advice on overcoming sin. And God is so good about giving us this kind of advice. So let's just turn to Ephesians 4 and look at that. Beginning in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walked, in the futility of their mind." Now let's just slowly work through this and see that we are to have a different way of walking, not the same way as before. That we're to be able to live our lives differently, and that is overcoming. So that we're not doing the same thing that we needed to overcome. We are doing something different, something better. Verse 18 speaks of the Gentiles. It says, "Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart." We don't want to be like that anymore. And it says in several verses that we were. "And such were some of you," it says when there's a list of things written. In verse 19, it's continuing about the things that we don't want. It says, "Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." So he's carefully just listing out the way that the world leads us and Satan inspires, and the way people become without the Spirit of God. And so these are the things we need to overcome. "But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him," he who hears God's word, and Christ came to give us the words of the Father, "if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off," and here's the practical elements, how can I overcome sin? "Put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust." That's not enough. It's not just that you take off that cloak. You need to put on something else. We need to put it on. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man," a new way of living, a new way of even thinking, so that we begin to be more like Christ. "A new man which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness." And so we find out, we read, we find out what is righteousness and true holiness. Those are the things we want to put on. And if we don't do that, brethren, we won't be overcomers. We just won't. But God is so careful to show us and teach us so that we can be overcomers. "Therefore," it says in verse 25, "putting away lying," you know, I'll confess, God already knows this anyway. I'm reading some of these lists and I go, yeah, I remember that. I remember when, you know, I was a thief and I lied to try to get myself out of it, and one sin led to another, and it was just a downward spiral, and I got caught anyway. And you know what? It wasn't very good. But God is teaching us here how we can overcome that. "Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." To always speak what is right. There was a time when I was young. I think I've told this story maybe here. a time when I was young and adventuresome, and I had a really great friend, and he and I were out one day. We were building a treehouse. Actually, he was building a treehouse, and he invited me over to see it. When I got there and saw this wonderful treehouse, and I realized he was stealing the materials for this treehouse from nearby homes that were being built, then I'm going, whoa, well, it's a wonderful looking treehouse, but I don't like this idea of stealing things. And so we left his treehouse, and as we're walking out of the woods, there was this stolen car that someone had parked in the woods. He didn't steal it, but we walked upon this car. And then he took the gas cap off and struck a match. And I'm going, what are you going to do? And so he dropped this match down into the gas tank and blew this car up. It started the woods on fire, and all of the first responders coming, and you know, the fire trucks and everybody. And so we ran through the woods. I'll just tell you what I had to overcome, okay? So we ran through the woods, and we came out the other side away from the highway so that it didn't appear that we were even in the area. And so later that afternoon, he and I were walking a couple miles from there, and one of my cousins was the deputy sheriff, and he saw me and knew me. And so he just stopped. He wasn't suspicious at all. He just stopped and asked us if we knew anything about that car that got burned up in the woods. And my buddy said, no. What car? And I said, yeah, I know. And he goes, you know, looked at me and he says, why don't you come with me? And so we got a ride in the squad car down to the sheriff's office there, and I got to talk with my cousin privately in the room, and my buddy got to talk to the deputy, and later the sheriff privately in the room, not us together. And I decided, I knew, I was already learning God's way by that time of life, and I decided this is potentially pretty bad, and the best way out is to tell the truth. Which meant squealing on my buddy, which I didn't intend to do, but I needed to do in order to be truthful. Because the questions were not about what, you know, they were questions that were direct. Were you there? Yes. Did you do this? No. Did he do this? Yes. So I had to be truthful, else I would have been 3 years in juvenile detention like my buddy was. 3 years. And so it's not something I'm proud of, and I really wished it wasn't me that squealed on my buddy in that way, because that's not something that most people appreciate. I know he didn't. But I know that by telling the truth, it was the best result for me. And so we read these things and we say, how do we overcome? How do we become someone who's not living that way? Therefore, putting away lying, verse 25, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. There was a time when I was an angry person. I was a hair trigger temper. And this is something I had to overcome. Maybe you've had something like that too. I'm just showing you that we all, since we're all sinners, I'm just showing you that we can sometimes make mistakes in our life, and we need God's help. And we can find that help in His Word. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give place to the devil. Because, see, all of these things, they go back to him. All of the ways of man, they go back and laid on the head of the devil who caused it all. Don't give place to him if we're going to be able to be overcomers. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. So I don't steal watermelons from fields anymore and drop them off train trestles. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. You know, that was a big thing for me, to be able to labor enough that I would have something to share with other people. Because I grew up in a really poor environment, and sometimes you didn't know if you had enough for your own family, much less to share. But God blesses us to be able to share. And so you see, you know, he helps us in all these different ways of life. I'm just looking at practical elements of life, brethren, and showing us how these can be applied in overcoming something so big as sin. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You see, there's no need for me to yell. All we have to do is read God's Word, and it comes across pretty loudly to us. And we can let Him direct our lives and give us the way to overcome and help and see. So these are practical things, very applicable in your life and mine. Just stop doing what was bad and start doing what's good. And we'll get different results. And the results will come in a way that will help us be the children of God and inherit all things. In my notes, I'll just reference this, and you can look it up in Revelation 2 and 3. There are those letters to the seven churches. And in every single one of those letters, there is a message to those who are overcomers. What a great list it has. The overcomers will be able to eat from the tree of life. They shall not be hurt by the second death. They shall eat of the hidden manna and receive a white stone with a new name written on it. They will be given power over the nations and be given the morning star. And they shall be clothed in white garments, and their name shall not be blotted out from the book of life. Christ will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and write upon my new name, he says. And he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And so, brethren, we can look at this topic of overcoming, and we can see that even these great and enormous things in life around us that must be overcome, there is a way to do it. And that way is hearing God's word, submitting to him, resisting our enemy, being transformed by his words, living by God's will, having faith in God and all that he says, confessing our sins, repenting of them, being baptized and receiving his Holy Spirit, and applying all these practical things that he shows us. Putting off our old way and putting on the new. And we too one day will be overcomers, completely at the point where we will inherit all things and be the children of God.